IABC Ottawa presents The Voice.
The Voice offers expert insights and practical takeaways for people in the marketing communications industry.
We're sharing the latest ideas and issues with sector professionals.
What can we do to help you take your career to the next level?
Hi, I'm Sherilyn Starkey, and this is The Voice.
I think IABC is just a really important organization for our profession. I really appreciate its community building and this idea of pulling in different people that you otherwise wouldn't get to come across. At the end of the day, although a lot of communicators are social kinds of people, we're tend to be head down and working in the day-to-day and don't necessarily have a chance to connect with our peers and learn from each other, and I think that's really what I value the most.
Carolyn Keeley is the founder of Ingenium Communications, located here in Ottawa. It's a boutique firm specializing in strategic communications, change management, and training. Their approach is guided by the Results Map, its proprietary practice process for strategic communications and change. The methodology is offered through consulting, training, workshops, and Results Map Handbook. But Carolyn and her team are really known as IABC All-Stars, having participated at the chapter level, at the national level, and now with their recent Gold Quill Best of the Best win at the international level. We welcome Carolyn to The Voice today. Here we are with my first podcast of the season, and we're talking to Carolyn Keeley about her recent Gold Quill win. I was a proud moment for me sitting down in New Orleans at World Conference and having you sitting at the table with us and there to pick up your Gold Quill personally. And then on top of that, you won Best of the Best, which means the highest scoring entry in your category in the whole world. So congratulations to you for that.
Thanks very much. It was really great to have you there at our table.
Yeah, it was a fun party as well.
Absolutely.
If anybody ever gets a chance to go to World Conference next year, it's in June in Washington, D.C.
That's it.
And I hope to be there as well. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your firm.
Sure. So I am born and bred in Ottawa, and I've been heading up Ingenium Communications for the last 15 years. And Ingenium is really specialized in strategic communications planning. That's really the heart of our work. And over the last few years, we've been getting into a lot of change communications and change management work as well.
And how long have you been an IABC member?
Oh, gee, I was trying to think of exactly how many years. It's over 20, let's say.
Okay.
And I'm not making myself sound any younger, but basically I've been a member since I've been in the profession.
Okay. And what keeps you coming back every season?
I think IABC is just a really important organization for our profession. I really appreciate its community building and this idea of pulling in different people that you otherwise wouldn't get to come across. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, although a lot of communicators are social kinds of people, we tend to be head down and working in the day-to-day and don't necessarily have a chance to connect with our peers and learn from each other. And I think that's really what I value the most.
The learning piece.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't your first IABC award.
No.
Not by a long shot.
That's it. We've been fortunate to win a number of awards, although this certainly was our first Gold Quill and definitely our first Best of the Best. So we've been participating in the awards program for some time.
So why do you keep participating in the awards?
Good question. For anyone out there who has participated in the awards program, you know that it is a shocking amount of work.
Yes.
And
it's a tough one to win, too.
It is. And so I think, for me, there's something really gratifying about the opportunity to take a step back from the day-to-day and look at the big picture and find out what really worked. And so the design of the award program is really helpful because it forces you to move away from just the activity and the outputs and take a look at the outcomes, which is, I think, a terrific way to sharpen the saw just as a practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, is tremendously validating when you can see, actually, yeah, we did make a difference and there is a measurable outcome to show for it.
Do you think that clients or prospective clients appreciate the fact that you're an award-winning agency?
We certainly hope so. That's what we hear from our clients. So I think it's also certainly a really important credibility booster in a crowded marketplace.
Yes, I agree.
That's why we also participate.
Yes.
So we're here today to talk about your Gold Quill Award win with the work that you did with the facilities. Is it department or division? Mm-hmm. Facilities?
Yeah,
over?
It's the facilities service at the University of Ottawa. That's right.
Can you tell us a little bit about what were the challenges they were facing when they called you in?
So the facilities team is a really interesting group. There are about 175 employees who actually run the functioning of the campus. So when you think about it, it's like a small city because it services a community of over 43,000 students, profs, and staff. And the facilities group was really facing a significant business challenge where, in essence, they were tasked with doing more with less. The university, being provincially funded, of course, has a fixed budget envelope, and yet the university has to keep expanding and modernizing its campus, which really puts a significant pressure on the facilities team to basically reimagine the way in which they do their work.
And so communications was a fundamental part of helping to transform into a new way of working.
Absolutely. So we were called in as partners in change management and communications with the idea of really working collaboratively with the group. We really were embedded as part of their management team and worked over the course of now going on 3 years to try to really focus on a shift in the culture and the practice of the way in which service is delivered.
So that's, you know, nirvana really for people like us.
Mm-hmm,
if we get accepted to sit at the management team, that's where we can really have the most impact and help them the most rather than being at arm's length working
exactly
at the agency.
That's exactly right, yeah. And I think it's not a coincidence that this happens to be the project for which we were privileged to win the Best of the Best award, because we really had that level of partnership and absolute trust, a real strong solidarity of intent also in terms of what we're going after. So that really was a dream project in that respect.
I agree. And they're few and far between briefs
yes,
like that.
Yes, this is what we found.
Can you tell me a little bit about the results map tool that you use and how did you use it for this assignment?
So the results map is our proprietary best practice process for strategic communications and change planning. And really it offers a step-by-step process to focus on the process as much as the product. So what we find is oftentimes people get tripped up over thinking about a communications or change management plan as a document. We really look at it as a process of engaging and consulting with client organization, tapping into that existing culture, understanding the pressures and the natural incentives and disincentives, which really provides the raw fuel for putting forward an action plan moving forward. And so we use the results map to guide that process with a really strong emphasis on consultation. So this was really a fun assignment that we got into tour the workshops, you know, for the locksmiths and the electricians and the plumbers to try to understand that in effect the group is a community of communities who each have their own functional way of doing work and way of relating with each other. So that very much was helpful. And then on the back end, the results map is designed as a capacity building program and really is all about knowledge transfer. So unlike a more traditional consulting model, where the idea is often to keep the expertise within the consulting firm, our model is to really try to build the client's capacity and offer them tools and templates and new ways of working so that there's a more sustainable implementation going forward. And so that's the way we collaborated with facilities.
Okay. Is ResultsMap rooted in a software product, or is it more like a philosophy?
Good question. So you may be thinking that back in the day, actually, we launched the results map at an IABC World Conference in Toronto, I think in 2010, and it was originally a software product, but over the years has evolved to a more streamlined way of offering the intellectual property. So it's really offered through a handbook as well as a proprietary online database of tools. And so people buy the handbook, and then included in that is a credential to access the proprietary database. So it's just really a website with all kinds of tools, templates, worksheets, samples. As far as I know, it's the biggest database of its kind in this sort of specialized area of strategic communications and change.
Interesting. Okay. And is it only available in tandem with consulting services?
No. In fact, the intent behind the results map was to try to crack the nut of scalability for our small firm, which is one that I'm sure you're very acquainted with, given
most consulting firms are,
expertise. And so so the idea is that it is offered through our consulting practice, because of course we use our methodology in our engagements. We also teach the methodology to our clients and to various platforms, as we've done many times with great delight through IBC. Mm-hmm. But it's also offered off the shelf as a standalone offering. And so in fact, we now have results map practitioners on every continent who have simply purchased the book and used the tools in their day-to-day practice.
Sounds like a good time in the recording of this podcast for you to remind us what website where people can find out more about Results Map.
So it's at resultsmap.com.
Okay, well that's easy to remember. So tell me about the program at the Ottawa University, and how did that roll out, and what do you think was the key to its mm-hmm. success?
The project, as I mentioned, rolled out over a couple of years. Mm-hmm. It started off with a really detailed stakeholder analysis, and that's where we did the kinds of consultations and interviews that I was mentioning mm-hmm. earlier. And I think that process was really critical in gaining a true, authentic perspective of the way in which facilities works, you know, and I mm-hmm. think there's truth to the expression that you have to tap into an organization's culture to find solutions rather than seeing culture as the problem. So then the stakeholder analysis fed into the development of a communications and change management strategy, and that really functioned as the roadmap for our activities. Interestingly, as I mentioned, because we were working in close collaboration with the client, it was not a traditional environment where the strategy directed only our work, but rather we were working in partnership. So we mm-hmm. would have a common view of what is the sequence of events that would take place, some of which we would handle as an outsourced partner, but many of which were handled internally. And we had a really seamless collaborative process around that. The program really had a strong focus on capacity building, and so we worked with leaders to develop a leadership team and try to build capacity and capability in managing through change and some of the particular leadership and management techniques that are important in that context. And then we had a very significant communications campaign that was called We Power Ideas. That was, from a communications perspective, really the centerpiece of the program. And the idea was that we had big graffiti-style posters that were plastered all over the facility's offices, featuring actual shots and photography of their own staff, mm-hmm. connecting the work that these folks do behind the scenes, which you can imagine is absolutely mission critical to the university's functioning, but often happens in the shadows. Mm-hmm. You know, people are cleaning carpets in the basements and fixing doors that a student might have broken and mm-hmm. so on. And so we were really trying to connect the sense of purpose and that sense of intrinsic meaning mm-hmm. in facilities work to the university's functioning.
Because people only notice it when it doesn't work well.
Absolutely, yeah. That's right, exactly. And so really a lot of these folks are the unsung heroes mm-hmm. of the campus, and who are absolutely on the front lines when things go poorly. We did a series of videos also showcasing the facilities team, one kind of fun one that actually one of the employees just took initiative to create this sort of user-generated content, was showing all the work that goes into setting up a gym for exam time. And this all is right. something, you know, you just don't think about, that somebody's got to get these desks here. And it's a very precise kind of science of measuring and so on. So we did a sort of showcase of that kind of work. We also did a number of staff town halls, general assemblies, dialogue sessions with the executive director. So there's really a multi-pronged change communications program that really was absolutely focused on the sense of purpose and meaning of the work of the team, and trying to connect that to the initiative's objectives, which were really twofold. One was to deliver maximum value to the university, and the other was to increase client satisfaction. And so I think what was critical to winning the Silver Leaf and then eventually the Best of the Best was this focus on measurement. We did a pulse check survey with employees using an online tool that really was very simple but extremely powerful in understanding what's working and what's not.
Yes.
So that resistance doesn't go underground, so that we understand what's going on and can mm-hmm. take constructive steps to address any issues. And then there was also a client satisfaction survey that was also very instructive in understanding what is it that internal clients are looking for from the facilities group, and how do we improve that business collaboration, which often was one of frustration. A lot of the clients at the university, as you can appreciate, would want their office painted or a door fixed and so on, and would wonder, well, why does this door cost $4,000 when I can buy it in one for $200 at Home Depot, right?
Right.
And so it was really almost a client education exercise mm-hmm. of understanding the requirements of the building code and the way in which yes. facility of this magnitude has to function, and how can we have a positive win-win dialogue and reduce some of the conflict in the system.
So when you were doing capacity building, training and education of your colleagues and collaborators, was recruitment involved in that as well?
There was a little bit of recruitment work that went on because part of the transformation process was a restructuring that was aimed at tapping into best practices in the industry, which really have to do with collaboration across sectors. Yes. And so as you can appreciate, the university being a more traditional, long-standing organization, that took some doing in terms of reimagining the structure, and in that process, recruiting some new members of the team who have had a very positive effect on adopting some of these newer techniques. Like, for example, one that comes to mind is that there was an establishment of a thing called a quick response team, of saying, okay, well, not every project at the university requires a full process in terms of project management and construction management and so on. Sometimes a prof just wants a new plug in his office or whatever that might look like. And so the idea was to have a more agile response team that could really handle those kinds of requests in a more nimble way, not taking away from the absolutely appropriate rigorous process that's involved in larger scale initiatives.
Oh, interesting. And this pulse testing that you did, can you talk to me a little bit about the pragmatic side of that? How did you gather that data?
So, well, I have to say it really was not very complicated. We just did a very simple SurveyMonkey tool. Okay. We kept it to 8 questions, and I think that really was a key to the success, is that it's an easy process to fill. And so we did a pulse check survey twice a year and continue to do so to track criteria like, for example, the degree to which employees feel that they can do their best work at facilities, their view as to whether their opinions are listened to, do they feel that they have career mobility, and do they have suggestions to offer. So they're really quite straightforward questions, but that were absolutely pivotal in getting a sense of the feedback from the community and to start to understand patterns among different teams. And so what we found was that those responses really followed an absolutely classic change management curve, where you found you had a reasonable level of employee engagement at the beginning. Then when the transformation occurred, which was really quite significant in its scope and scale, you had that classic dip in levels of employee engagement. But then I think the key and the reason why this became an award-winning case study is that that number went way up because the team was able to solidify and rally around a sense of purpose. And, you know, I think success breeds success. So when the team could see real business results, which in their case ended up representing $2.3 million in saved productivity cost to the university.
It's hard to argue with those numbers.
Absolutely. And so I think there really was a very positive cycle that really was rewarding not only for ourselves, but more importantly for the team.
Are you still engaged with them on this? Or is the project wrapped up?
We are, because one of the main drivers is this idea of continuous improvement and therefore change is ongoing. That is the new normal. We still work in partnership with the team in a facilitation role.
Okay. So you've mentioned that you've got people around the world using the results map. Can you tell me a little bit more about your client base? Canadian, national, international, you know, what are the companies you tend to work with?
So interestingly, we tend to work primarily in what I'd call the public and para-public sectors. So governments, associations, institutes, NGOs. And I think that's not a coincidence. It's because these organizations tend to have a much more malleable context where there's not that crisp clarity of, let's say, a sales imperative that you would find in a business. And so you can communicate for lots of different reasons, and that tends to cause some disconnect in terms of focus and alignment, and that's where we tend to come in. So our client base is primarily local, but we also do work nationally. One of our main assignments at the moment is with the government of Northwest Territories, which has been a fascinating engagement with their communications community. We've done work in Vancouver with the World Duty Free Group, with several associations and government clients across Canada, including regional offices in Maritimes, via rail out of Montreal. And then globally, probably our biggest engagement was a project that we were fortunate to work on in partnership with the United Nations. And then through the results map, we have lots of government and corporate clients using the results map around the world.
Fantastic. It also closely aligns with the mission and the code of ethics of IABC internationally.
Absolutely.
By aligning everything that you do with what is best practices and standards and the continuous piece of it as well. So I think that you're like an excellent example of someone who's living the IABC brand every single day in your work.
Yes, well, thank you.
So what's next for you and your firm? What's your next big thing?
Well, the next big thing is actually this week we are absolutely delighted to be launching a new Institute for Strategic Communications and Change with the University of Ottawa's Continuing Education Department. And so this is really very exciting because, to my knowledge, it's really the first leadership development program that aims squarely at that point of intersection between strategic comms and change. Mm-hmm. And what we're finding increasingly in our own practice and what I observe in the marketplace is that there's a real need for organizations to have talent with fluency between those two areas, the communications piece and also the change piece, because generally there's a recognition that it's no longer about solving communication problems, it's about solving business problems through communication.
Yes.
And what are the tools and techniques and really the mindset required to make that shift? So that is our really big news, and we're excited to be launching that with our first cohort being welcomed on campus as of January.
Oh, excellent. So who do you see as the potential delegates for this?
Mm-hmm. So again, the focus is going to be primarily on the public and para-public sector. That's okay. Where the Center for Continuing Education really tends to focus its efforts. And in terms of functional roles, it would be for mid to senior communications practitioners, as well as folks working in change management or human resource roles.
Okay. And will they be learning in French or English or a bit of both?
So the program will be offered in both languages eventually. The first cohort is being offered in English, and our plan is to have two cohorts per year for starters as of 2017.
You can be busy.
Yes, it's going to be very, very busy. And really, the Center for Continuing Education has phenomenal ratings and really an excellent reputation in terms of its prestige in responding to leadership and professional development needs. So for us, it's really a terrific expansion of our work because, in fact, in our practice, you know, I do an awful lot of training and facilitation with organizations. But when individuals reach us, we really don't have an offering for them. We don't offer public or open sessions, except the ones that we are delighted to offer through IBC and other partners. And so I think this is really going to be a tremendous expansion to our own practice and actually a fantastic learning sandbox to be able to be exposed to practitioners from a broader scope of backgrounds and contribute in what really is going to be an active learning experience. So it's not just traditional training. The focus is really on some of the emerging best practices in leadership development with a focus on peer development, individual coaching, live lab case studies. So it's really going to be a fun and rich experience.
And is there a website where our listeners can go and find out more information?
Sure. So it's featured on the University of Ottawa's Continuing Education website. And there's also a link on our websites for the results map and ingeniumcommunications.com.
So I think the lessons learned from you today are that we as consultants, those of us that work on agency side or in the consulting side, need to start thinking of ourselves more as management consultants and less focused on just the communication piece. And I think that, again, aligns with IABC because we're the International Association of Business Communicators.
Absolutely right.
Not just communications. Do you have any more advice that you'd like to add for our listeners?
Well, I think one of the main themes of our conversation has been this commitment to ongoing learning. And I think that's a really important thing for the communications community to embrace. I think it's fantastic that we are in an industry that's constantly evolving and changing. And in order to future-proof our careers, if you like, that commitment to ongoing learning, I think, is absolutely fundamental. And that's where IABC is just an exemplary partner in providing those opportunities and those insights. So I think it's a really terrific contribution to the industry and to the community.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy, busy life to talk to us today, Carolyn.
It's been a real pleasure. Thanks for having me.
IABC Ottawa is the voice of communications in the national capital. The Voice podcast is sponsored by Thornley Follis Communications and produced by our volunteer
Amanda Speroni. I'm your host, Sherilyn Starkey. I'm the past president of IABC Ottawa, and I'm the current president of Thornleigh Follows Communications. You can find me online anywhere, but check me out at Sherilyn on Twitter, or you can find me at sherilyn.starkey on LinkedIn. Thanks for tuning in.